Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. I had someone ask me the other day, we do a lot more dollar volume in precious metals-based assets than we do rare coins. There's a lot of items that we deal in that are sort of semi-numismatic, which means have collectible value and or potential or rarity or whatever, but trade very close to their bullion levels at this time. There's some items that are just foolish. There's a lot of, you know, the older pre-33 gold stuff that the pricing is just right now, it's just senseless. And people are like, why does it do that? And what happens? And, you know, how do I know? And it's like, you know, when it's available, and I preface that clearly, because it is a scarce item. You know, the modern bullion products, you know, bullion means that you're buying the intrinsic value of the item. People think bullion means bullion cubes, like chicken bouillon. That it's the two words are spelled completely differently. One's B-O-U-L-L, that's the chicken, and precious metals are B-U-L-L. And chicken bouillon is not worth near what gold bouillon is, in case you were wondering and you haven't been around paying attention lately. But no, it really... bullion doesn't mean the shape. Like, people will find examples of old coins. Like, well, back in the 60s and 70s, there was a company called the Franklin Mint. It was a private mint, and they made tons of stuff, okay? Tons of coins, silver coins. And now we're going to get technical. They're technically not coins, because a coin has to have a legal tender face value. So what they are is they're metals, but the average person would call them a coin. So I guess I'm the average person, maybe. But the thing is they made just so much of this stuff, and people call and go, yeah, my dad died and I have a Franklin Mint set. And I'm like, let me guess, it's a presidential set. Yes, yes. Well, they made about 100 different presidential sets. They had to have, you know, new reasons to make more. So my moral of that story is this. They made so much of it, okay, that it's just worth its silver content. People will be like, oh, what a shame. Well, you know, that's life. And it's also when your father or grandfather bought it, silver was a buck an ounce or something, you know. So the profit's definitely there. And maybe they enjoyed it, maybe they didn't. They minted a lot of that stuff in the 60s and 70s because the U.S. Mint was minting very little collectible items. Now the U.S. Mint has gone the other way. They're making so much stuff you can't keep up. And then what happens is, and it reminds me a lot of back, you know, in the stamps. Back in the same era, 60s and 70s, probably into the 80s, U.S. Postal Service pumped out so many stamps, you know, supposed collectible stamp sheets and all that, that, you know, there's no hope of them. They just totally destroyed the market. So, you know, it's all supply and demand driven. No one collects stamps now. Those days are over. In fact, what's ironic, we used to buy stamps for a fraction of the face value. So we used to pay 75% of the face value for sheets, and then we'd lick them and stick them. And people might go, well, if they're worth a dollar, why pay 75 cents? Well, because they aren't worth a dollar. There's a bunch of 3 cent and 2 cent and 5 cent and 7 cent. We would have stamps going back 70, 80 years. When we would ship out a registered and insured box before the electronic era we're in now, this whole box would just be covered. you had to have like a full-time employee just to put stamps on boxes. It was so time-consuming, and you're trying to keep track of how much you got on there and everything. So we used to pay like 75 cents, and then the electronic thing came around a little stronger. Then it got down to where you'd pay 50 cents on the dollar. And now it's to the point where they're not even worth squat. I mean, you know, you look online in auctions at eBay, you can buy like $400. I saw the other day, $385 face value in old stamps, literally unused, sold for like $162. So that's interesting. The Postal Service does not take stamps back for refunds, which is kind of interesting. It used to be that they did. And for years, stamps were legal tender face value. And there was even an era where they had what was called encased postage stamps. And they would put like a 3-cent stamp inside of a little button thing, brass on the back, sometimes an ad on the back from a local retailer. And then they'd have a piece of mica glass on the front, which is just, it occurs in nature, and it's really cool. And I've had, you know, a handful of those over the years. They're really neat. I like them a lot, but they're cool. You don't get a lot of that stuff. So there was an era where stamps were money. They were legal tender. And then in the 1860s and 70s, we had what was called postal currency, were these little pieces of paper money, very ornate and very gorgeous, always. Everything the U.S. did back in the day until, you know, gosh, maybe the 50s, I don't know, 60s, was always at the best. And our old postal currency was absolutely gorgeous. And they'd be like, you know, 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, little pieces of paper money, 5 cents, you know, 10 cents, 15 cents, etc. And those are, you know, we sell that stuff. It's very interesting. They range, you know, in decent shape. You're usually looking at probably 20 bucks and up, 15, 20, 25, and you can go to 50 and 100 or whatever. And then, you know, when they're really ratty-tatty, they're probably a little bit less. But it's just a different era. It's a totally different era. So what I was getting at is a lot of times, you know, volume has a lot to do. Like the Franklin Mint, I was saying, is made a whole bunch of silver stuff. And so what I was going to say is just because they stamped it into pretty pictures like, you know, Michelangelo, you know, different examples of his art and all this stuff on their coins, they're gorgeous. And people are like, how can that not be worth more? Well, all silver has to be struck into some shape. Okay. So if someone does a little more work on the die and does a nicer job, if it's not a limited edition legal tender coin, there's no limit to how many can be made. So as we speak, we're still pumping out American Gold Eagles and, you know, and Canada's pumping out their Canadian Maple Leafs and all. They just keep making bullion. So the point is they'll never ever be collectible. And then to confuse you on that a little bit, back in the 1990s, the U.S. Mint, mid-90s, metals and coins had kind of cooled off, and we had the dot-com craze taken off. And there are some low mintage, like 10th-ounce and quarter-ounce and half-ounce gold coins that do carry a collector premium, so there's contrary to what I said. But that's because it's limited edition. And so if you know, if a government makes it and you know they're not making more and there is what there is, that's kind of what dictates value. You get into older coins, they were made to circulate. The old pre-33 gold that we talk about was, you know, those included coins. They made little $1 gold pieces, three different types of those. Those were made between about 1849 technically till about 1878, little tiny $1 gold pieces, exactly 1/20th of a $20 gold piece. Then they made $2.50 gold pieces, then a $5 gold piece. They made a $3 gold piece, which is very scarce, and then a $4 gold piece, which is incredibly rare, phenomenally rare. They're called the $4 Stella. They were made just for collectors. And they made a $5 gold piece, plenty of those around. And, of course, a $10 and a $20. And then there's some $50 out there, which are very big money. There's like $50 slugs, which are octagonal. And the U.S. Assay Office put out some $50 slugs back in the day. They're the coolest thing you've ever seen. I had one, you know, I've had some of those in my collection, but I always tend to sell that stuff and build real estate and then watch it go up and up and up and maybe regret it later. I don't know. But so that's the pre-33 gold. Limited edition. There's different mint. There's different dates in mint marks. There's a lot of dates and mint marks that we call common that they made the most of and the most are available. And then there's dates and mint marks that are more scarce. So the common ones are what we call semi-numismatic. Obviously, they're rare, collectible, limited edition, etc. But they can't make any more. And so they have a lot of potential to go up. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because they've been up in the past. In the late 80s, when inflation got crazy, that you know they were trading at 5 to 10 times their gold content. Just back in the mid-2000s, they were trading at, you know, say, on average, 3 to 4 times their gold content. And now they're trading at, like, a few percent over their gold content for the big ones. And anyway, the premiums on all of them are really low. So when they're available, they're a good value. Just to recap on that, bullion is when you're buying a product for its intrinsic value. Semi-numismatic is an item who really, in our opinion, well, semi-numismatic means it's a limited edition, maybe rare or scarce, or definitely should be collectible, but it trades at or near very, very tightly corresponding to its precious metals price. Then there's numismatic coins, which are coins that have their own scarcity. And people have a tendency to be like, you know, first of all, it's kind of like a catch-22. People invest, okay? A lot of times they invest for, you know, out of fear or bad times, which I always say you don't ever want to make a financial decision out of fear. You don't have to be afraid of what's coming. Okay, you need to be square with God. You need to be square in yourself. You got to have a plan. You know, failing to plan is planning to fail. If you're not ready and prepared, you should talk to your family. If something ever happens, we have a massive power outage. You got to understand there's going to be no communication at all. And it's not a matter of if, folks. It's a matter of when. I mean, these things are going to happen to us. We're just way too vulnerable. Our power grids are just so archaic and ancient. They're severely unsecure. All of our wiring is above ground. I mean, you know it. It's just inevitable. I hate to even talk like that, but it's a fact. We're so exposed. And then the next thing, you know, we'll have something like that happen, and then we'll have, you know, what, you'll have security everywhere, and if you can't drive under a power line without showing your papers or something, I mean, all those things serve a purpose. And if it becomes popular rhetoric, you watch, they'll exercise that maneuver too. And it makes me slightly nervous, but you don't need to be afraid. You just need to be wise. You need to be prepared. It's like being you're in the army of the Lord. It's like being a military soldier. You don't get scared and panic. You prepare ahead of time. You know what you're going to do ahead of time. You train yourself and you're prepared. And then you take the challenge head on. You don't run away from it. You know, there's different ways to take it head on. You don't want to be a fool either. But you just want to be wise and you want to be prepared. And that's what we try to help you do financially. You're not like some kind of cuckoo bird that's stockpiling precious metals in case Armageddon comes. You're putting your money in the one sector that is absolutely divinely created, authorized as money, and endorsed by God. The money that, you know, he talked about in 2 Genesis, right after the creation. I don't believe in coincidences, especially in that kind, you know, the chronology. That's pretty important to him. And that really forms who we are as a race, our financial background. And people get way overconfident when the markets are strong. What's really the saddest is I'm talking to a lot of people all the time about their money. I was just talking to someone yesterday, and you know, they inherited a substantial amount of money many, many moons ago. I helped him acquire some bunch of little waterfront, you know, cabins on Coeur d'Alene that he's been renting out forever, and then as well as a bunch of gold and rare coins. And we were talking about his other money that was in various investments, and apparently it's done terrible, poorly. And I'm like, how is that even possible? I talked to so many people, and, you know, supposedly the Dow is just rocking and rolling and racing up, right? And all these great things are happening in the market, supposedly. And you really strain to find people who've even realized a profit even remotely close to what the market's supposedly done. The reason for that is because they refer to the market. When they refer to the market, most of the time they're referring to the Dow. And the Dow's a simple 30 stocks out of over 2 million. I mean, when I say over 2 million, that was the number a long time ago. Their OTC stocks are over-the-counter stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, and the Dow is 30 stocks. Well, they get heavily focused on. They get driven and manipulated and pushed around and protected. I mean, the best thing you could ever do is have one of those huge mega corporations in the Dow, because you know everyone in the world that's anybody is going to do everything they can to protect the financial stability, at least the appearance of financial stability of your company. But in reality, that doesn't reflect on other stocks as much. Plus, like I've said, the next logical conclusion is you say, well, then I guess I need to buy those Dow stocks if they're going to take care of them. Well, you got a problem. The way all these indexes work is they're running on weighted moving averages. And when stocks dive or tank, and there's a couple different things. They do remove and replace stocks regularly in the indexes, but they also have anomaly exceptions. If a stock blows apart one individual stock, and they determine it's not, quote, economically influenced or driven, they will remove that stock's impact on the index until they replace it. And then there's more where that came from, trust me. It's very crazy. And then our recent development is where the Fed has announced here recently that they are going to be investing in private equities, private corporations, okay? Then they'll be assisting companies in downtimes and stuff. Folks, you talk about a catch-22 mess. You have the Fed that, okay, in order to create a dollar, it has to be borrowed by somebody. Well, who do you suppose borrows the biggest amounts of money? If you guessed large corporations, you'd be right. So you get large corporations that borrow money. The Fed creates the money. And then as the Fed gets an excess of cash back or continues to want a reason to create money, they pump that money back into the large corporation that helped create the money in the first place. And you end up with this big vicious cycle. It is an absolute upward spiraling, well, we'll say downward spiraling tornado. Those kinds of fiscal policies are terrible. The Fed is a privately held, privately owned and operated, separate entity from the U.S. government. That's the Federal Reserve Bank. It's not federal, nor is there any reserves. And we turned over our congressional responsibility to coin money, as it says, and to regulate the value thereof. We turned it over to a private corporation. And now that private corporation is beginning to manipulate the stock values of other private corporations. This is over the top. This very likely may have been influenced by Donald Trump, and perhaps he knows or he doesn't know. I don't, you know, the impact of it, but it's just such a conflict of interest. I kind of have a strong feeling that Donald Trump is seriously connected with the big boys, with the who's who on Wall Street, and that's who he's making a ton of money for. But when you have this stuff going on, the other thing they said they do is the equivalent of what they referred to as the plunge protection team. The reason that he's doing this is Reagan started it back in the day, back when during his term. And that's where the Fed will jump in overnight, dump money into a stock corp, a C corp, to save it from tanking in order to what? Keep the index propped up. So you got to be really careful when you look at these things. I mean, you've got like Apple's stock at $3,000 a share. I mean, these things are absolutely off the charts, folks. This stuff doesn't even make sense. These numbers are just astounding. Everybody wants to be in the paper market. This, I am, the only thing that is giving us a false appearance or giving us the appearance that COVID has not had a horrendous impact on us economically is the amount of money that's being created by the Fed at the hands of Trump. Is Trump just pumping this stuff out just because he wants to get elected? Isn't that a tough dilemma? People, if you don't like Trump, I'm sorry, but you are not going to vote for anybody else. You can't. If you saw what the other side wants to do to this country, look at what they're doing. Ilhan Omar, or whatever I was listening today, you know, she, I mean, these people are coming out and full throttle calling for a complete disassembly of our nation. An absolute, you know, tear it apart special. You don't disassemble something you love. These people hate America. I don't care what people say. It's they hate America. These people, you've got like Ilhan Omar. She's just not my favorite. We'll put it that way. And, you know, she's a refugee, supposedly, and been rescued. And she, these people hate America. If you travel the world, and I have, not completely, but fair enough to, I think, to talk. You talk to anybody anywhere, and you ask them, all things aside, what country, in other words, money and whatnot, what country would you prefer to live in? Absolutely all of them. United States of America. And we have all these people trashing on our country, crap history, lies, you know, tearing down statues. This is not a movement. This is not a political movement. These people are out there. They think they're so great. They're out there saying, you know, if we don't get the concessions that we want, we're going to burn this thing down. We're going to burn the system down. These people can go on TV now and talk this way. I mean, when does it become treason? And when do we have a movement called Get Out? If you really don't like it, they're not trying to make America great again. They're not trying to make America better. They're trying to just chop away at the roots and the core soul of this nation and destroy it. Do they, any of them, ever give you a vision of what they want? The only vision I ever hear is they want your money. They have these foolish concepts that the wealthy, if you will, which is Obama, did a beautiful job of vilifying America's successful people. And Hillary does the same garbage. These left-wing and radical socialists, they do this all the time. Who do you want your kids to admire? Who should they look up to? Should they look up to the President of the United States and CEOs of companies and very successful people? Or should they look up to people who are burning things down, trashing it, going out at night dressed in black hoodies and, you know, whatever, ninja suits, and vandalizing and beating people up and beating girls up? And, you know, there was a girl in Seattle who got her head cracked open with a rock. after they tried to extort $500 out of her to drive through her neighborhood. And I mean, is this the people you want your kids proud of? Colin Kaepernick, you know, that now apparently Disney is doing some kind of a Colin Kaepernick whatever, you know, focused message of filth. Disney's become disgusting too. I mean, they want to glorify a guy who stood against this nation and wouldn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance because it represents racism. I mean, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, you know, and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I did that wrong. I was bouncing around. But, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, one nation under God. The indivisible is the new thing they're doing. I was looking at this. What a joke. With liberty and justice for all. But, you know, I mean, saying I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, this is a good country, folks, and we can't lose sight of that. Do you really want to watch it disassembled? People need to stand up and get ticked. I'm talking to doctors and everything that are saying this COVID thing's total malarkey. All of them. It's almost like the people on the higher intelligence that are more in the groove get it. And those that are further from that don't, because I'm talking to a lot of people and a lot of people just aren't getting it, you know, and then they want to be, and there's those that want to be patriotic and just do what's right and wear their mask all the time. And luckily a lawsuit came up today that I was reading about, challenging the, mandate by our crazy governor to require masks. And I know constitutionally it won't hold up. It can't hold up. It cannot. It's absolutely unconstitutional. You can't tell businesses to be law enforcement agents and not allow people in. And then people freak out. Then you get to see people's power trips. We went out for breakfast yesterday and I was with an employee and we walked into one restaurant over in the Yards, the Kendall Yards. You know, we walk in and we want breakfast. The guy just freaks out. You know, you don't have a mask. He's screaming, get out, get out. And I'm like, whoa, 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 dude. I'm like, you know, do you have any like free masks or something? No, you got to get out. You're going to infect everybody. And they went to another restaurant and they had their own little, you know, masks that they gave out. And we just kind of wore them around our neck or whatever. But, you know, and then you're going to a restaurant. You're supposed to wear a mask while you eat. I mean, use your head, you know. And this, it's just, I'm telling you, folks, it's really crazy. And then these, you know, these are employees because business owners, they understand the value of a customer, I hope. You don't just drive everybody off over some stupid rule made by a governor who's just a train wreck moron. This guy's just doing foolish, stupid, idiotic stuff. He's destroying our economy. And just when we think we might get over it, he throws another curveball like he's loving it, eating it up. And, you know, you always have to hear, these are very difficult decisions to make, you know. And it's like, I'm trying so hard and I'm such a sincere, intelligent, wise person. And I'm, you know, I'm just contemplating these decisions at such a deep level. And then I talk to Nancy Pelosi and she says, burn it down. You know, that's really where they end up, I think, is that the left-wing socialist burn it down. It's interesting that you get Trump in there and he starts reflecting what conservatism is. And these people have to be the opposite. Donald Trump, law and order president. Oh, no, the left has to be against law and order and start getting, you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa just trashing and destroying. These are reckless vandals getting a thrill out of it. These guys need to go to jail for a long time. Trump put in a law, 10 years for tearing down a national, you know, statue And they should. It's just gotten to be so bad. Can you imagine? Have you watched some of the stuff, the size of these things they've torn down? I watched them tearing down one where the guy was standing by the legs of the horse. His body was just above, his head was just above the knees. I mean, these are grand, amazing pieces of art, phenomenal pieces of art. I've got in front of me as kind of a quick jump side, but, you know, the New American Magazine on the front, they show some ding-a-ling. Of course, got their mask on. Good thing. With a sign that says, save a life, kill a cop. Can you imagine being a cop right now? I mean, it's not even fathomable. And we're going to have mass retirements coming. We're going to have people just bailing out left and right from those positions. You're not going to have anybody signing up. I'll tell you another thing that's driving me nuts. Say what you mean and mean what you say, right? So the left says defund the police. What does that mean? Defund the police. Well, doesn't that mean take away their money? Don't give them money? No, no. Not when you listen to a bunch of people on the left that probably really want to be more moderate left, but they can't abandon their radical, socialist, tyrannical, you know, villainous group, left-wing whack job group that's out there. They gotta, you know, because the left is so embracing to all views, they say, unless your view disagrees with them. So when they say defund the police, the word is, they say, no, we don't mean that. We mean just, we just need reform. No, that's not what you mean. If you meant reform the police, guess what you'd call it? Reform the police. Or you might even switch the words around and call it police reform. But no, it's burn it down. It's destroy it. Folks, do you see what's going on? And do you see Obama really got this going? Obama started it. He really did. I'll give him this. He's a genius. You know what he is? Community organizer. Well, to him, chaos is organization. That's his organization. He's more like a community disorganizer, tearing the communities apart from the very roots that they're supposed to be built on. He's creating doubt and anger and frustration and hostility. He's got that organization for action or organized for action group that basically goes after everything that they disagree with and don't like. And, you know, and it's just their agenda on the deepest, most destructive, heinous, devilish level. I've said in the Bible, but the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. That, my friends, is exactly what we're getting right now. The steal, kill, destroy culture. And it's absolutely crazy. So anyway, here on this, let's see, a lawsuit filed in Washington State challenging the new government order requiring everyone in the state to wear a face covering in public places and private businesses to slow the spread of coronavirus. I have to say again, this infuriates me. I've gone over the statistical details, the medical facts, the journal articles. Oh no, the media won't touch it, folks. We're being duped and had. We're being absolutely forced to conform. What is next? This is a social experiment. It's an absolute social molding. They're practicing. They're not sure, you know, they know what they want to do. If you look at everything they do, you know, open the borders, you know, illegal immigrants get to vote, you know, get rid of the police, create anarchy. We don't want law and order, you know, false accusations against Trump so that we aren't checked. You know, they yell loud enough so as they're corrupt and they're throwing the election next time around, no one they think will look. Well, I have to agree with her. The Republicans are cowards. in a lot of cases. They're out speaking in the good talk, but they're not out, you know, pushing. And you get crazy people like Maxine Waters saying, if you see a Trump supporter anywhere, beat them up. You know, and you, I mean, Ilhan Omar, whatever the heck it is, goofier than heck, you know, and she's out there saying, well, you know, we need, and oh, she's so annoying. We need to, you know, fundamentally change the country, and we need to root out corruption everywhere and find out, you know, who's not only if there's profit, but who's profiting. And we need to stop the wrong people from making profits and get the profit to the right people. And we need to redistribute income. This is the garbage she's talking today. Well, do you happen to know she's been getting away with murder? She married her brother to get into the country. Now she's funneling like $1 million a year off to her new husband's company. You know, and I mean, she gets away with this stuff. The left gets away with everything. And, you know, you've heard the saying, can you imagine if a Republican did that? And I'm like, yeah, that's dumb. Because, I mean, I don't like it a lot because I don't like the two wrongs make a right. I don't like when the left goes, yeah, but they did it back in 1867. You guys did something similar. You know, I don't like that kind of rhetoric. I'm a big believer in personal responsibility. But when they're, you know, when they're coming after you doing this kind of stuff, it's like you, I guess you just have to call a spade a spade. So anyway, here, let's get back to what I was talking about. We got the governor order requiring everyone to wear a face mask, et cetera. The suit filed by the Freedom Foundation on behalf of a group of citizens. You know why that is, folks? The reason is because you got to have a victim. If you don't have someone impacted, you don't have a case. It says it questions whether Governor Jay Inslee and the Secretary of Health, John Wiseman, have the constitutional authority to mandate people wearing masks in public and on private property. Ooh, how about that? There's a good point. Private property. There's another one. It's like I said, you can't tell business owners what they can and can't do. It's private property. You can't tell someone how to run their business. They are correct. They'll lose that one. It says, so it's testing his constitutional authority to mandate public and private property. It also seeks an injunction that would prevent the face mask mandate from being enforced, which is nice because, you know, if they get the injunction, then when a business owner demands you wear a face mask, then it becomes a matter of your choice whether to do business there or not, not theirs. And it also can become a situation where you are protecting your own civil rights. I mean, you know, this whole thing that Big Brother knows best, a lot of it has come. It's been around, you know, it's a human thing. But the drug war brought it on a lot. And when I bring that up, people get all touchy. You know, it doesn't mean you don't have to like drugs to think the drug war is being improperly handled or not even, you know, a necessity. It's a mess. But that was the whole thing where it's like, okay, we've got this greater evil, this utilitarian evil that we have to attack. And so we need to violate your civil rights to do it. That's the problem. Is they just, there's always something. There's always something, and that's when Big Brother's getting in too deep. Well, that has been the landslide towards this. And it's also been the conditioning when the government can come in and tamper with your rights in such a way. So it says, the face covering directive is the definition of government overreach, said Aaron White, national director of the Freedom Foundation. If people choose to wear a mask, that's their choice. But Inslee's going after otherwise law-abiding citizens when there are rioters destroying Washington cities such as Seattle with no punishment in sight. Yep, nailed that one. The lawsuit argues that by requiring citizens to wear face masks, the state is essentially compelling them to support junk science. Amen. In violation of their freedom of conscience. Amen. Fourth Amendment, which the suit says is prohibited by the state constitution. And amen again. The Secretary of Health does not have sweeping power to pass rules and regulations imposing criminal penalties for refusing to kneel in submission. Hear that? Their quote is, the Secretary of Health does not have sweeping power to pass rules and regulations imposing criminal penalties for refusing to kneel in submission, said Sheila Sadovnik, Freedom Foundation Litigation Counsel. And the governor cannot assume powers the Constitution assigns the legislature or the judiciary. Again, the balance of branches, checks and balances, etc. But the thing is if you think about it, the Secretary of Health, can they really, and if anybody doesn't understand this, you have to. Constitutionality is absolutely fundamental to the preservation of our society. And what it means is you get the Secretary of Health. Does the Secretary of Health have a right to legislate? No. Does the governor have a right to legislate? No. And then think of this. Now the Secretary of State and the governor, they're choosing to be the legislative branch and make up ridiculous laws that are not superseded by any other law that, you know, well, they're basically overriding other laws and rights. And then they're trying to come in with the executive authority to apply the enforcement of the law. But even worse, they're trying to force it down the throats of business owners and individuals when it's on private property. I mean, what happens when they say, well, you got to wear a mask at home all the time? And, you know, I mean, you're like, oh, gosh, Kevin. What happens when they're kicking down your door? Hey, your neighbor saw you through the window. You didn't have a mask on. And you're like, oh, they'd never do that. Really? This insanity that you've seen, you don't think could go a few steps further? I think it's pretty important to understand what we're up against, folks. Otherwise, you're in the dark. And I know there's a lot of people that like the dark. I know plenty of them. They just saturate themselves in foolishness. They don't want the truth, and I'm sorry, I wish they did. But, you know, that's the human nature. And then we're all brainwashed by TV. TV controls our thoughts. Hey, how do I feel today? I don't know. Let me turn on the TV and find out. So she says, the governor can't assume the powers the Constitution assigns to the legislature or judiciary. Inslee in the past has asserted that he has the legal authority to issue orders designed to slow the spread of coronavirus. Again, junk science. Which so far has infected nearly 36,000 people and untested and unverified. This is me throwing my little plug in. And killed more than 1,350 people in Washington State. Again, junk science, untested, unverified garbage. The lawsuit filed July 1 in Lewis County Superior Court. It says it was not immediately known whether a hearing on the lawsuit has been scheduled. Well, let's hope so. Let's hope that crazy judge does not throw that one out. Can you imagine? That would be rather ugly. If they get to that point, that's when we've got some serious issues. I've got here different things. A woman, how about a woman who allegedly coughed on a baby no longer has her school district job. Isn't that wonderful? And then that was a quick note. Here we go. Here's another one. So here's another thing I think that's super important to know what's going on. Another deal on Fox News. Liberal writers, activists sign open letter calling to end the cancel culture. I don't know if you all know what the cancel culture is. But it's this garbage where this new generation is, they shut down everything they disagree with. And they're ignoramuses. They don't know what they're talking about. The Constitution's garbage to them. They don't care. They don't, you know, they have no clue what they're doing. None. And they're out destroying the most wonderful nation in the history of the world. And so it says liberal whiters, how about that? Got racist there for a sec. Liberal writers, professors, and activists have come together and signed an open letter in the hopes of ending the cancel culture. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, New York Times opinion author Barry Weiss, political activist Noam Chomsky are a few of the more than 100 names attached to the piece titled A Letter on Justice and Open Debate that was published Tuesday in Harper's Magazine. And then it goes on and it says, you know, of course, it's politically soft, but it does say we're facing a tough time in this nation and powerful protests for racial and social justice are leading due to overdue demands for police reform. So they kind of agree. But then they go, but this needed reckoning has also intensified a new set of moral. How about that? They're going to bring that word in here. I thought there were no such thing of moral attitudes. Let's see here. Moral attitudes and political commitments that tend to weaken our norms of open debate. I'll shut up. Of open debate and toleration of differences in favor of ideological conformity. Ooh, I like it. As we applaud the first development, we also raise our voices against the second, whatever that means. So it's saying they applaud this. Oh, my gosh. They're saying they're okay with the new set of moral attitudes and political commitments, I suppose. But they don't like the ideological conformity. So they're basically saying if you don't agree with them, they're saying, well, that's great. We've got this new morality. And I say wrong. But what they're saying is, you know, unfortunately, folks, this new morality comes with a necessity for this kind of behavior. You cannot accomplish what they need to do without forcing it illegally because the Constitution forbids what they're doing. And only through fear, all this is about fear. Fear of the coronavirus, right? Oh, fear of COVID. Fear of the being called a racist. You know, fear of getting your head bashed in. How about, you know, the police, they're afraid to exercise their authority. They can lose their job or worse. You know, fear is driving all this, and fear is a destructive thing. And so they go on there. I think what I want to do here before I wrap up the show, I've had a lot of requests, a lot of people, and, you know, to my own fault, a lot of people have a lot of questions about finance, money, investing, and although there's a lot of stuff constantly going on out there, and I'm passionate about it, I just think that I owe you some. It's called True Wealth. This show used to be about nothing but money and economics and finance. And, you know, of course, precious metals-based assets is something I tend to have a little bit of experience with and, you know, care a lot about. And, I want to talk about one other thing. There's one other video I had. A doctor who's a senator is being sanctioned by the American Medical Association and the board of, you know, whatever. He was the doctor of the year in Ohio, et cetera. And they're coming after him now. He's a Republican. They're coming after him for daring to challenge the COVID farce. And they're, you know, they're trying to take his license away. I mean, this guy's a great guy. This is what we've come to. Everything is bullying. This is the Obama, George Soros era. You know, Biden has no clue how this operates. If he got in office, he wouldn't even be in office. He wouldn't even, he'd be out. They'd have him in a wheelchair out back. They'd probably have some strings on him so that they could make him move when the cameras were looking. And you'd have Obama and Hillary. You might even have George Soros sitting his tail in that office anymore. But he definitely would not be our leader. Which my first instinct is great, and then I'm like, but then who would? And then it's not so great. So there's more of the big pharma thing. I've covered the Swiss independence study. That's awesome. So anyway, let's talk real quick about precious metals based assets. Here's just a piece of paper I had sitting here. In 1797, John Adams warned Thomas Jefferson that control over the issuance of money should never fall into the hands of private interests, as it had in the case of the Bank of England and the Bank of France. Thomas Jefferson issued this warning: if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. One thing you got to realize, folks, in America, this was the greatest country ever made. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And we have this thing, well, I am a patriot American. I pay my taxes. Our Constitution forbid the charging of direct taxation. You're taxing your ability to earn a living. They considered that slavery. Okay? And now we have the 16th Amendment, you know, the Federal Reserve Act, the IRS, and it's all normal, right? But guess what? You're born in America. It's interesting in Revelations 18, talking about Mystery Babylon, where it says that this city, on top of all the cargoes it trades in, it says, and the bodies and souls of men. And the Bible says that debt, you know, consumes the soul of the debtor or whatever it is. This nation has enslaved us. What do I mean? You're born in this nation in debt. You owe money. We're getting to the point when Donald Trump hits $30 trillion deficit, I mean, our actual unfunded liabilities are going to be pushing $270 trillion. I don't know if you know that, but that's a lot of money. It's $1 million-ish for every man, woman, and child. You got a family of four, you owe $4 million. You got a family of five, you owe $5 million. Okay? When's that going to get paid off? Never. Okay? So you're in debt. In addition, it's not just the Federal Reserve. You're like, yeah, Kevin, well, that's there. It doesn't affect me. Okay. Do you ever own your home? No, you don't. Why? Because you never stop paying taxes on it. And you know you pay more on your taxes than you do on your mortgage. Why? Because they continuously increase the tax assessed value of your home. On average, okay, the taxes in Washington or in Spokane area are about, what, 1.2%? But with the continuous increase that is constantly applied, you buy your home back from the government about once every 27 years. You're never free. When I was in banking, I had a number of cases where elderly ladies, widows, were having their home taken by the assessor for not paying taxes because they were on such minuscule Social Security income, they couldn't afford it. And we did what we could, I'll tell you that, but there was one in particular, her husband was a World War II vet. And she was living on his, you know, Social Security and whatnot. And they still, you know, and the assessor had the arrogance to say, you know, the house had gone up in value considerably. This was actually in Idaho on Hayden. At the time, it was worth $1.6 million. When they built it and bought it, it was, you know, it was ridiculous, $2,400 or something in the 40s. But the thing is the assessor's comment was, well, she should be happy. She's 85 years old. She'd raised her kids and grandkids. It was a beautiful piece of property on Hayden Lake. And he's so insensitive, okay? This is what's going wrong. This is what Thomas Jefferson warns about. We accept it as normal and okay. So I didn't get a lot of time. So you think about it, you know, from an investment standpoint, money is a very important accounting of our lives and our heart condition, right? Gold, precious metals-based assets is God's money. And paper is man's money. Man's money. If you want to build true wealth, you build hard assets. You just do it. You will benefit and you will grow. And over time, you'll do very, very well. You know, since the deregulation of precious metals back in 1974 or whatever, you know, gold's gone from 35 to 1800 plus. Silver's gone from 86 cents to, you know, recently in near 20, in the past even 48 or whatever, and it'll go back. You know, I don't have time to get into all this stuff. I guess I didn't leave myself enough time. But the folks, I'm telling you, it's you want to make that move. You want to have a solid nest egg. It's not that big of a decision. People, you're making it too complicated. You don't sit around and say, oh, it's not the right price. You've been doing that too long. You just buy assets. I do. I tell you, as an individual, I don't sit around and worry about what the price of precious metals is because you either believe in it or you don't. It's untitled real estate. It lasts forever. It's always yours. It's rich. You know, gold rich. You want to go to the Middle East, you go to Asia, you go to all these places. They know that gold rich is really rich. Paper rich, they know it's just play money. And, you know, you want to just secure yourself today. It's smart. Another favor, you know, you just give us a call. We'll build your portfolio. We're good at it, and you'll do very well at it. Another thing I've mentioned, you know, the if you want a couple nice Morgans for no charge, go do three, like, five-star ratings on, you know, Yelp and whatnot and Facebook and Google or something, and call us. We'll verify them and take care of you. But that's important to us as well. So thank you so much for tuning in again. Keep your eyes open. Seek the truth. Do the right thing fast. Don't hesitate. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.